All right, let's move on quickly then to exhorting. The biblical example seems to be the Apostle Paul. Characteristics. Number one, they're committed to spiritual growth. The primary motivation of an exhorter is to see people grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. It gets them more excited than anything. He wants to see people applying the scriptures to their lives. You can see how it balances the teacher. They will do whatever they can. They want to get involved in people's lives to help them grow, to be more like Jesus, to help them apply the scriptures and to become more mature in Christ. And you see this a lot in Paul's letters. You remember he wrote to the Galatians, he said, My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He saw them as little children that needed to grow, and he wanted to see them grow, and he wanted to do whatever he could to help them grow and become more mature. And over in Colossians, he said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. It was a burning desire in Paul to see them grow. Number two, they're able to see root problems. Exhorters tend to be very discerning of the spiritual maturity of other people. And when they talk to somebody for a little while, they tend to be able to pick up, well, this person's really grown in the Lord, or this person's not grown very much in the Lord. And they're sensitive to that. And when growth is not happening, an exhorter wants to figure out why. What are the hindrances here? What's going on in this person's life that's keeping them from growing? You know, Paul was disturbed with the Corinthian believers because they weren't growing. You remember that? He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, like he wanted to. He says, but as unto carnal, as the babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. You can hear his frustration there. He wanted them to grow. Very, very important. Number three, they see steps of actions. Often, an exhorter can see in his mind's eye what a person can become. They can almost see how strong in the Lord this person can become, and they tend to see what the steps need to be for them to get from here to there. And so they kind of work out a plan in their mind's eye sometimes, and they share it with people sometimes. You know, what you need to do is this and this and this and this, and that would really make a difference in your life. They can see it, and they'll give you steps of action for you to take to help you grow in the Lord, help you overcome a hindrance, help you get stronger in the Lord. When Paul wrote Timothy, you can kind of get that pattern when in 2 Timothy chapter 2, sort of the steps of action. He said, now, Timothy, flee youthful lusts. So there's a step of action, you know, flee these youthful lusts and follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then he said a third thing, foolish and unlearned questions, avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. So you see him giving those steps of action to Timothy to help him grow in the Lord, to be more mature. By the way, sometimes we haven't gotten to organizers yet, administrators, but sometimes exhorters think they might be administrators because they see steps of action like administrators do. But exhorters, when they try to lead like an organizer and lead a group of people to do things, exhorters just tend to wear people out. You know, if you've had a leader that gives you a lot of steps of action, but they just wear people out almost, and a true person with a true gift of organization tends to bring joy to the people as they lead them in steps of action. You'll see that when we get to that gift. Number four, they raise hope for solutions. Exhorters are pretty good at encouraging people. That's an important thing for an exhorter, and they raise people's hope. They say, hey, you can do this. You can grow. You can conquer this thing, and here's how you can do it. And the person gets a hope usually about them that, yeah, I guess I can do that. We like to use the examples of other people and even our own lives to help people see ways that they can overcome some obstacles and grow in the Lord. Paul used that strategy. Remember, he said to the church at Corinth, he said, I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. See, he was using the example of the Corinthians. They had done something good. And so he went to the Macedonians and said, now listen, look at these Corinthians over here. They did something really good, and you guys can learn from them. And exhorters tend to do that. They'll share examples and illustrations from other people's lives. He did it from his own life, too. Remember when he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He was open to people and willing for them to see from his life, hey, if Paul can be as bad as he was and yet grow to the point where he has grown, then maybe I can do it, too. That was his motive, you see. And we exhorters tend to try to encourage people that way. They want to use illustrations from their lives and other people's lives. Fifth thing, they turn problems into benefits. Exhorters sometimes drive people crazy with this because they've learned to see God's hand in trials and in difficulties. And an exhorter can quickly than anybody else, when a person's going through a trial, when they're going through a time of testing, an exhorter can see how that's going to help them to grow spiritually. And it does. Paul recognized it. You see him talking about that a lot, how important it was to rejoice in tribulation because God's using the tribulation to bring about spiritual growth, to make you more mature. And he, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about God comforting us in all our tribulation. Why? There's a purpose in it, he said, so that you can comfort others when they go through tribulation. And he says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds by Christ. And whether we're afflicted, it's for your consolation. You hear that? When we're afflicted, it's for your good. He sees good in the affliction. That's a common attribute of Paul. Number six, desiring to be transparent. Exhorters recognize that being open before people sometimes helps them to identify with you and to grow, so they'll be transparent. They'll just share their lives very openly with other people. Paul reminded Timothy the importance of a clear conscience, and a clear conscience often is demonstrated by an open, transparent life, and Paul recognized the importance of it. Number seven, they gain insight through experience. You can contrast this a little bit with teachers now. Exhorters rely very heavily on personal experience. Now, an exhorter, of course, needs to balance that with God's Word, but an exhorter is very tuned in to the cause and effect relationship. You do this, this is going to happen. You do this, this is going to happen. And they learn principles from life as well as from the Word of God. Now, that can be good. Just needs to be balanced, you know. But they can learn valuable principles by studying what happens in people's lives. And my kids at school got real tired of hearing me say this year. Now guys, you know, if you can choose not to do this work. But if you don't do this work, you're not going to learn the material, and you're not going to pass my class. And you know, cause and effect. And I emphasize it so strongly over and over and over. And I had a lot of kids that tested me with it. And unfortunately, they're going to have to repeat some math courses next year, you know. But it's a good learning experience for them. You know, they're frustrated. There were kids that didn't pass, and they were terribly frustrated that they didn't pass my course, very upset. And I said, I try to tell you that all you had to do is do the work that I gave you to do, and you'd be okay. But you chose not to. Now, I had a bunch of them, and when I'm saying to them now, I'm saying, now look, what you need to recognize is that, and I tend to be kind of open with this kind of thing, I say, you know, God is going to use this in your life. Someday you're going to look back and say, God was teaching me something real valuable here about the importance of cause and effect. What's going to happen if I don't do this? I got to pay a penalty for it. I got to pay a price for it. And I said, it's a valuable learning lesson, so just learn from it, you know. That's an exhorter tends to focus on those kind of things. And number eight, urgency to act on clear steps. Exhorters tend to really rely a lot on logic and reasoning and argumentation in a logical kind of way. They like to reason with people to give them steps to follow, you know, and this leads to this and this leads to this. Paul is a beautiful example of that, and a lot of law schools have used the Apostle Paul as an example for logical presentation of truth and reasoning ability. Paul was tremendous at that. I don't know if you ever heard of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Some of you have heard of him, I'm sure. He was a great preacher in England. He preached and pastored the church where G. Campbell Morgan had been, if you remember G. Campbell Morgan years ago. But Martin Lloyd-Jones, a brilliant man himself, and he wrote some tremendous books. But he was a medical doctor, by the way, before he was called to preach, and then he became a pastor of a great church in England there, and solid, strong man of the Word. But he, over and over, if you read Martin Lloyd-Jones' writings, who was a very logical man himself, he had marveled and admired the Apostle Paul for his ability to reason with people and use logic and just move inexorably from one point to the next and presenting his evidence and his truth so that there was no way to go except say, yes, Paul, you're right. Of course, the Holy Spirit was inspiring Paul as he wrote these words. Number nine, desire to share face-to-face. The reason for that is exhorters like to know that when they're helping people determine steps of action, what they need to do, how they need to respond. They're wanting people to respond positively. They want to know that people are accepting it. And so they like to look at people's faces and see that they're with them. They like to know that people are there. And one of the hardest things for me to do when I started speaking and preaching in larger groups, most people don't give a lot of facial expression. Some of you do. You know, some of you, when I'm teaching or preaching, I look at you and you're nodding or smiling and agreeing. But a lot of people aren't. Now, I know that doesn't necessarily mean you're not listening. Many people are listening very intently. They just don't have a habit of showing it. You know, they don't do this or that. You know, if you're sitting back there and somebody's doing like this, you know that means. but most people don't do anything. They just sit and look at you, and that's okay. But it was hard for me as an exhorter. It was hard for me to get to the point where I recognized they're not all mad at me. You know, I wanted to see some kind of, you know, yeah, I'm with you, Steve, you know, and I didn't always see it, but the Lord showed me, you don't have to see that, son, you know, but my point is, an exhorter likes to see a response in people as he shares, and that can be one-on-one or it can be in a group, but he likes to see that, yeah, I'm with you here, I see where you're going, I see your point, I'm getting it, and he's not just content to present the truth, you see, he wants to see change, he wants to see people grow. It's very frustrating to an exhorter to present the truth and then no change take place. He wants to see people become more like Jesus. Paul longed to spend time with his fellow believers. Remember that? He wanted to see them. He wanted to be with them. He wanted to make sure he was understanding how they were receiving things. He said in the Thessalonians, he said, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. He spent time with them individually like a father with his children trying to bring them on in the Lord.